If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 to 26, as we finish up our series in the cross. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for the message of Easter, Lord, that you rose again from the dead. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember what you're calling us to do now after Easter is over. How you're calling us to take up a cross and follow you, that the world can know you and be saved. Pray, Lord, you would open your word to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you would come and show us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Roger Gates is a Vietnam veteran who came home from the war, started drinking and drugging, lost his job, lost his family, and even spent time in jail. But then 1981, he got radically saved and God told him to take a big old wooden cross and carry it all across the United States from one end of the country to the other. So he did for 14 months, reaching out to people with the gospel every step along the way. And then what do you know? Last April, 39 years later, God told him to do it a second time at the age of 71. So now he's about halfway through going cross country all over again. And this is what he said. "Even though I'm 71 now and it's going to take me a lot longer, I still need to do this because carrying a cross and following Christ is exactly what God's called me to do." And folks, we need to realize that's not just what God called Roger Gates to do. That's exactly the same thing God has called every single one of us to do, because that is the purpose and meaning for life, for every single one of us. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Lent called In the Cross, because it's only in the cross of Jesus Christ that we find the answers to all the biggest questions that people are asking today. And today we finish this series by looking at the question, what is the purpose of life? And to answer that, we turn this morning to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 to 26. In this part of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is telling his disciples he's got to take up a cross and die for their sins. And in our text today, Jesus is telling the disciples, if they really are disciples, they need to take up a cross and die to themselves. So the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning, the answer to that question is very simple. What is the purpose of life? It's carrying a cross and following Christ wherever he leads. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26, tells us three things that we need to do in order to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ, we need to know Christ. Verse 24, in order to come to him and follow him, we first of all need to know him. And you know what? If we don't know Jesus Christ, life really is meaningless. And it seems like life starts out that way anyway. We didn't even make a decision to come into this world. Two people we didn't even know made that decision for us. And the female carried us for 9 months and then pushed us out into this world without even asking us if we wanted to go or stay. Then a doctor grabbed us by the ankles, turned us upside down, smacked us on the butt until we cried like howler monkeys. And that's how life started. Doesn't that seem meaningless to you? But you know what? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, life really is meaningless. The number of people in America who claim to be atheists has tripled in just the last 30 years. And right now, 60% of all Americans under the age of 40 claim they have no spiritual faith whatsoever. No wonder. The number one question that Americans are asking today, according to USA Today poll, what is the purpose of my life? Evolution specifically says that there is no God. And as a result, man is not a special creation of God. Not here for any special purpose at all. So we're all here by dumb, blind, random, purposeless chance. kind of like quarterback Andy Dalton on the Chicago Bears. Bill Nye, the science guy, said this. Evolution means your life is meaningless. The only reason you're here is because millions of years ago, one gene switch in a spider flipped one way instead of another. Nothing you do will ever make any lasting difference or have any real lasting impact on anything, because the universe will eventually be destroyed and any evidence that you are ever even here will be totally erased. Gee, happy Easter. And because people don't have God, and as a result, no purpose for their life, they got to try to fill the void by finding some cause to live for. Something to do to save the world. And that becomes their God and their religion, to try to give them some kind of purpose and some kind of meaning. And there's all kinds of causes. Everything from equity to transgender rights to save the spotted owl to fighting man-made climate change. How many people turned their lights out last March the 28th for Earth Hour? See, my life counts for something. It's important. I'm saving the world. But what did Earth Hour accomplish? What has Earth Hour ever accomplished? Because evolutionists say 5 billion years, the sun's going to explode and turn the Earth into a charcoal briquette, so everything you try to do to save the planet is meaningless anyway. And by the way, if your kids say they want to fight man-made climate change, tell them no phone, Xbox, laptop, computer, TV, no new clothes, no new shoes from here on out. We'll see how Greta Thunberg they really are. But you know what the sad thing is? All the causes in America today, with all the causes, depression and suicide rate in America is still rising faster than gas prices. And you know why? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, the Lord is your life, which means if you don't have the Lord, you don't have life. Because the real meaning and purpose of life is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Him and for Him. You and I were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created to know God in a personal way through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Sorry, you can't help that. It's the way God made you. That's the way you're wired. You have a hole in your soul that only God can fill. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, absolutely nothing else in this whole wide world will ever be able to substitute or make up for it. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is the richest man in the whole wide world. He has a total net worth of $193 billion. That guy is so filthy, stinking rich, he lives in a $165 million mansion and makes $321 million a day. Every day, people. Jeff Bezos is on his way to becoming the world's very first trillionaire. And yet this is what he says about it. With all the money and success, there comes a sense of emptiness, because none of it is really fulfilling. There has to be something beyond the material world, some ultimate purpose to life. But I have to say, in spite of all my success, I haven't found it yet. Just a real sense of loneliness in the world. You know why Jeff Bezos feels so lonely? Because he misses God. There's people listening to the sermon right now. The reason you're so lonely and empty inside is because you were created to have a relationship that you don't have, because your sin has separated you from a relationship with God. That's why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, 2,000 years ago, came down to this earth and died on a cross and rose from the dead to take that sin away, to make that relationship possible. Because no other relationship in the whole wide world will ever be able to satisfy you except that relationship with Christ. J-Rod, J-Lo, and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. The hottest glam power couple in the history of the world after Mark Antony and Cleopatra are now breaking up after being together for 4 years. And you know why? Because Sue and I tell couples in premarital counseling, your relationship with your spouse is not enough to satisfy you. Your relationship with your kids is not enough to satisfy you. You were created to have a relationship with God. And I don't care what you try to do to distract yourself from that. You can search and surf and swipe and scroll till your fingers fall off. It doesn't change the fact. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. It's only those who have the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's only those people who have life. Life is all about Jesus Christ. And all because 2,000 years ago, on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on a cross and was buried in a tomb. But on that first Easter Sunday, the earthquake ripped the rocks apart. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled away the stone. Jesus popped out of that tomb, conquering sin and death and hell, and said, "Cancel that." On the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that the Bible is true and that there is a God and that the meaning and purpose of life is knowing him and serving him. So as long as you still have a pulse, you still have a purpose. The purpose of life is Jesus Christ. And folks, that purpose is so clear. It is so clear. All you need to do is see the light. Back in 2006, NASA launched a space probe called New Horizon to boldly go where no man has ever gone before. To go further into deep space than anything man-made had ever traveled before and send back information from beyond our solar system. 2015, New Horizons shot past the planet Pluto, which is 50 times further from Earth than the Sun. And at that point, far, far away from any significant light source at all, that probe started snapping some very boring pictures of totally black sky beyond our galaxy. Astronomers developed those pictures like they always did, taking out all the light coming from all the known light sources like the stars and the Milky Way and even extra light from the camera itself. And those astronomers fully expected those pictures to be as black as the ace of spades because astronomers have always assumed for centuries that deep space is totally black. But when they developed those pictures, they got the shock of their lives because there was still light in those pictures. In fact, just as much mystery light as there was light from all the known light sources. Where in the world was that light coming from? They thought maybe it was some rogue stars that nobody discovered before, but there wasn't any. They thought maybe it was some galaxies that had never been discovered before. There wasn't any. In our solar system, dust particles can reflect light. But in outer space, deep space, there is no dust particles out there. Where was that light coming from? A significant amount of light distributed very evenly all throughout the universe. A spokesman for NASA said this: "There is no natural scientific explanation for that light. So we just have to admit we have no idea where it's coming from." I know where it's coming from. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 says, "In the very beginning, God created light all throughout the universe before he even made the sun, the moon, and the stars." And we know that the person who made that light is Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light that gives light to every man. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. John chapter 1 verses 5 through 9. Folks, all the doubts and denials of all the atheist scientists and philosophers and celebrities in the world cannot change the fact there is light in the universe and there is meaning and purpose to life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you just confess your sins to God, put your faith in the blood he shed on the cross as the only thing that can take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, he can be the purpose of your life too. The first thing we need to do in order to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ, we need to know Jesus Christ. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ. We not only need to know Christ, we also need to deny ourselves. Because too many times, self doesn't want anything to do with following Christ at all. This word deny here in the original Greek literally means to refuse to please yourself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He refused to use all of his awesome power and let himself be beaten and whipped and tortured and nailed to a cross. Talk about denying yourself. Talk about denying the flesh. And all to fulfill his Father's will. Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do. So deny yourself so you can follow Christ. But the problem is, that's exactly the opposite of everything that the world tells us to do today. The world doesn't say deny yourself. The world says please yourself, pamper yourself, treat yourself, indulge yourself, the Delish candy company says. The slogan for YouTube is broadcast yourself and build your brand. Because hey, like Whitney Houston said, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And see the sign? Love yourself like your life depends on it. No, you don't love yourself. You deny yourself because your life and the purpose and the meaning of your life depend on it. And folks, we got to realize denying yourself actually means you die to yourself. Back in Jesus' day, the Romans would make their victims carry their cross to the execution site. So the Romans not only put people on crosses, the Romans also put the crosses on people, because that was all a part of the humiliation of crucifixion. And everybody who saw those people knew they were on a one-way trip and they weren't coming back because they were going to die for sure. But notice what's radical here, what Jesus says. Jesus is not saying here, wait for somebody to put a cross on you. Jesus is saying, you go pick up a cross on your own and die to yourself willingly. You do this because you want to and you choose to. Galatians 2:20 says that we were crucified with Christ, meaning our old self, our old sinful nature, was crucified and put to death with Jesus when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And then when Jesus rose, we rose with Him too. So we could walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, and be led by the Spirit with the flesh, the self, put to death, taken out of the way, so we wouldn't be bothered by sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. But the problem is, even though that flesh was crucified with Christ, it dies really hard. Like a cat with 9 lives. So we just got to keep killing it and burying it every single day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. But the question is, are we doing that? Are we denying ourselves? Are we denying the flesh? Freebird World-class burrito now sells the biggest burrito sold anywhere in the United States. The Super Double Monster Burrito. An 8-pound burrito that is longer than your arm. And it has grilled steak, chicken, ground beef, Spanish and cilantro rice, 3 different kinds of beans, roasted vegetables, 4 different kinds of peppers, queso, guacamole, roasted corn, roasted garlic, pico de gallo, house salsa, tortilla strips, and Freebird's famous death sauce. Death sauce sounding very appropriate considering the fact that burrito has 8,700 calories. Good rule of thumb, never try eating anything that's bigger than your head. I know from experience. Because he who indulges, bulges. Are we denying ourselves? Are we denying the flesh? I love the Alabama Crimson Tide and SEC Southeast Conference college football. And there's a website called Saturday Down South that gives constant updates on everything SEC. But the problem is, there's an ad that always pops up on that website that says this. Hottest bikini styles of 2021 or 2020 or 2000, whatever the year is. Showing girls in barely their bikinis saying, hey, look at me. Now, I'm as red-blooded as any guy in this room. So that old self in Kevin Garner, that old sinful nature, not only wants to look, it wants to take notes and store those pictures for later on so I can make my own home movies right up here in my head. And every guy in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and out of fear of God and fear of my wife, Sue, I never click on that ad. Because God told me a long time ago, when it comes to girls, you focus on their hearts instead of staring at their parts. Otherwise, you won't be following Christ. Are we denying ourselves? Are we denying the flesh? And what happens when we don't? The news about Ravi Zacharias just gets worse and worse. Because it's not just sexual harassment of some massage therapist anymore. Now, it's affairs and sexual assault and even rape. And all the ministry money that he paid out to buy off women with cars and houses and college education for their kids just to shut them up and to keep them from talking. Ravi Zacharias International Ministries is now trying to change its name just in order to survive all over the world. And they have warehouses, inventories of warehouses of Ravi Zacharias books that they can't even give away for free now to churches and Bible colleges and seminaries. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8, you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. All kinds of young people today are trying to serve the flesh because they want to be social media influencers. Making 15-second videos of them doing everything, shopping for clothes, to doing Fortnite dances, to picking their nose, whatever in the world you can think of. Because, hey, why study or get a job or do something that's actually productive when you can get paid having millions of followers watch you hanging out on your couch? 18-year-old Dazaria Noyes, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She had 100,000 followers on TikTok. Watching her do everything from washing her hair to kissing her boyfriend until last February the 10th when she committed suicide by hanging herself in her bedroom. And you know why she did that? Because you let anything outside of yourself besides God, you let anything outside of yourself determine your value, you get addicted to it. Even likes and follows on social media, to the point that all the likes and follows in the world isn't enough to satisfy you or make you happy. You get addicted to it, they make you depressed, they make you so depressed, they eventually kill you. Young people, listen to me. I don't care how beautiful you think you are. Your purpose in life is not to promote yourself so that people can follow you. Your purpose in life is to deny yourself so that you can follow Christ. Then people can follow you. This girl here never made that mistake. Could you stand up, everybody? This is Talia Eichelberger, in case you don't know. Just turned 13 years old last week. Very beautiful girl. Chica Caliente. But notice something about her. She doesn't dye her hair green like Billie Eilish does. She doesn't have a bunch of tattoos like Ariana Grande. She didn't have to go on So You Think You Can Dance like Meghan Markle did. And you know why? Because she doesn't need likes and follows from other people. And you know why? Because she knows she has a heavenly Father who already likes her and follows everything she does. And He's the only person that matters anyway. So she is not a teen queen. She's a daughter of the King. She's not just a hottie with a body. She's a princess with a purpose. She didn't want to be an Instagram model. She wants to be a role model. Not to catch eyes, but to change people's hearts. Because she doesn't want people just to see her. She wants the people to see Jesus in her. And they do. Do we understand the difference? Okay, sit down. Young people, for the love of God, the great things that you could do for Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, if you would just deny yourself and forget about what the world is thinking and saying about you. Sadly enough, dozens of countries all over the world have legalized gay marriage, including at least 15 countries in Europe. But one of the countries in Europe that has held out the longest against it is Poland, because Poland is still very strongly Catholic Christian. So last year, gay activists held the very first gay pride parades that Poland has ever seen in all kinds of major cities in Poland, including the city of Płock. And even though a lot of Christians in that city were ticked off about it, one Christian actually had enough guts to stand up and deny himself and do something about it. 15-year-old Jacob Barilla. Jacob Barilla is a born-again Christian and a Polish patriot. And last year, when he saw gay activists in his city holding up pictures of Jesus with a rainbow halo around his head, implying that Jesus was gay, and put rainbow colors on the Polish flag, he lost it and decided he'd had enough. So last August the 19th, when that gay pride parade was going on in the city of Płock, he ran to his priest, got a crucifix, ran back to the main drag where those activists were marching, surrounded and protected by police, ran out in front of the whole thing, took that cross, held it up in the air, and started praying the name of Jesus that that abomination would stop. And what do you know? It did. You talk about having guts. That 15-year-old kid with that cross stopped a mob of thousands and thousands of people. And then, of course, all hell broke loose. Because the marchers and all the spectators who supported the marchers started yelling at him and calling him a freak and a bigot and a homophobe. And started telling him they were going to kill him and do all kinds of things I can't even mention in a sermon. But you know what? All that flack never fazed that kid one bit. Instead of getting out of the way, he just sat down in the middle of the street in front of everybody and started praying again. Praying that God would have mercy on all the marchers and that God would have mercy on all the spectators who were supporting him. And praying that God would have mercy on the nation of Poland for even thinking about legalizing something that God says is a sin. And because he wouldn't move, the cops finally came over to him and asked him, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "I am standing up for the honor of Jesus Christ and the church and my native country." And because he refused to move, the cops finally picked him up and carried him away. So even though that gay pride parade continued, at least that kid had enough guts to stand up against it. And you have no idea, no idea how many people's hearts may have been touched by what that kid did. Now, why did he do that? I'll tell you why. Because Jacob Berilla is a disciple of Jesus Christ called a witness to the world, which sometimes means you take a stand for what's righteous and holy. And why was he able to do that? Because he was willing to deny himself and deny his flesh and not give a rip about his safety or his reputation or what anybody in the world said or thought or did to him. And you know what the saddest thing is about the whole thing? Why was that 15-year-old kid in the street by himself? Where was the priest? Where were all the other Christians in that city willing to deny themselves and take a stand? And you know what's even sadder here in the United States? All the Christians in the body of Christ who are agreeing with gay activists, instead of standing up against them, they are marching in parades right along with them. And you know why? Because it's a lot easier to go along and get along and go with the flow than it is to take a stand for something right. And you know why they don't stand for something right? Because they love the praise of men more than they love the honor of God. And the band plays on all the way to hell. For the love of God, Christians, stop worrying about what the activists are saying to you. Let's remember what Jesus is saying to us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "Any man would come after me, let him deny himself, that the world may know." The second thing we need to do in order to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ, we need to deny ourselves. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to understand the purpose of life and follow Christ. We not only need to know Christ, we not only need to deny ourselves, but third, we need to carry a cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus denied himself, we deny ourselves. Jesus carried a cross, we carry a cross. You really want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? You do everything that Jesus did. Take up your cross. And that verb tense here literally means this is not just a one-time, one-and-done thing. Carrying a cross is a whole way of life. It's something that we do every day. Christians, listen to me. If you truly want to be a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to do something that goes beyond just trusting Jesus for salvation and believing everything the Bible says. Because Christianity isn't just believing something, it's doing something. Christianity isn't just knowing Jesus, it's serving Jesus. You pick up your cross, you go wherever He tells you to go, you do whatever He tells you to do, no matter what. So the question is this morning, do we understand what it really means to bear a cross? Because I guarantee you, it doesn't have anything to do with dealing with slow Wi-Fi or your cable going out or giving up ice cream for Lent. I've had people right back there in that office in counseling sessions tell me that having a hangover or having chlamydia or HPV is just a cross they have to bear. What? No, because bearing a cross means sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And I don't remember Jesus ever having hair of the dog or an STD. Being in love with a drug addict boyfriend who lies to you and steals from you is not a cross that you have to bear. That's not a cross thing. That's a stupid codependent thing. Your cross is not some stressful thing you create for yourself because you're OCD. Grandma, I know it's Easter Sunday, and I know your grandkids are coming, but did you really have to die 50,000 dozen eggs for an Easter egg hunt? For crying out loud, tell your grandkids you hid one plastic egg with a $50 bill in it. And even if you didn't, it'll still keep them busy outside all afternoon. Happy Easter! Bearing a cross has nothing to do with wearing a cross. Joe Biden wears a gold cross around his neck. and calls himself a devout Catholic because he goes to Mass every single Sunday. But other Catholics call Joe Biden a kino, Catholic in name only, because he likes the label, but he doesn't like the doctrine. He's a cafeteria Catholic because he picks and chooses from the whole what he wants to believe and what he doesn't. Folks, do you know any truly devout Catholic who pushes abortion, gay rights, and destroying the First Amendment? Devout Catholic. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he didn't say, "Hey, I think you can make some really cool necklaces out of this." No. He says, deny yourself, lay down your life, take up your cross, and follow me. Anybody can wear one. Question is, can you really bear one? And that's exactly what carrying a cross is all about. It's all the grief that you have to suffer and deal with because Jesus Christ called you to follow him and take a stand for what's right. You're in love with this absolutely terrific guy who treats you like a queen, better than any guy ever has. But he's not a Christian. And you know as a Christian, God says you cannot be unequally yoked, so you break up with him. That hurt is part of the cross you have to bear. You quit your job because your boss is asking you to lie for him, and you know as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't do that. The unemployment is part of the cross you have to bear. You and your wife decided that she would stay home and homeschool and disciple your kids. But because you don't have that second income, your kids don't go to McDonald's and Great America and Disney World. Them missing doing that is part of the cross you have to bear. Your son comes out as gay and invites you to his gay wedding with his partner and says if you don't show up at that wedding and acknowledge his so-called marriage, he will never speak to you again for the rest of his life. And you know, as Christian parents, you cannot go to that wedding and endorse what he's doing. The hurt you feel is part of that cross you have to bear. Your kids would rather be boiled in oil and skinned alive than go to church. So every Sunday morning, you got to go all Cruella de Vil on them just to get them out of bed and get them there. And it breaks your heart that your kids are not on fire for Christ. But the grief that they give you, that's part of the cross you have to bear. All the hate mail that I get. People call me everything from a heretic to a used car salesman to a right-wing radical Bible-thumping homophobe. You say, Kevin, what do you do with all that criticism? I just eat it. Because it's part of the cross you have to bear for following Jesus Christ. Back in 2012, a gay couple sued born-again Christian Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, for discrimination because he refused to make a gay wedding cake for him. 2018, the United States Supreme Court gave him a partial victory, but left the door open for more lawsuits. So right now, a transgender attorney, a man who is trying to pretend that he's a woman, is suing Jack Phillips for discrimination because Jack Phillips refused to make a cake to celebrate his so-called transitioning. And of course it's a setup because there are hundreds of bakeries in suburban Denver, Colorado. In fact, there's a huge bakery right across the street from Jack Phillips that would make a cake for the devil himself. But see, gay activists are ticked off by the fact Christians do not believe that gay is okay. So they are targeting Jack Phillips for destruction to make an example out of it. And that transgender attorney has told Jack Phillips, even if Jack Phillips wins this current case, the gay community is just going to keep suing him over and over and again until he's finally ruined. Now, Jack Phillips won't bake any cake that violates his Christian convictions. He won't make a cake for Halloween. He won't make a cake that's anti-American. He will not make a cake that says God hates gays. It's not about the person. It's only about the cake. But that doesn't matter. And all the business that he's lost. And all the death threats that he's gotten against him and his family members. And the constant court cases, constantly having to testify, constantly watching hostile attorneys grill his wife and his daughter, trying to get them to say something incriminating against him. You talk about carrying a cross. And yet this is what Jack Phillips says. We are never going to change our policy at the bakery. And all the grief we get, all the lost businesses, all the lawsuits, all the fighting we have to do in court, that's just the cross we have to bear for serving the Lord. Christians, let me ask you this morning. What is following Jesus Christ costing you? And then let me ask you this. If it's not costing you anything, Are you really following Jesus Christ? Because I guarantee you, you carry a cross for Christ, it will cost you. You will pay a price for it. Back in 1999, Hollywood actor Jim Caviezel agreed to play the role of Jesus in Mel Gibson's 2004 movie, Passion of the Christ. And Mel Gibson warned him ahead of time playing that role would get him blacklisted in Hollywood for the rest of his life. And Mel Gibson was right. Because in the 17 years that movie has come out, Jim Caviezel has not even been offered even one part in one major movie at all. Jim Caviezel carried a cross for Jesus in that movie. Jim Caviezel is carrying a cross for Jesus in real life too. This is what he said about it. When you decide to follow Christ, you make a decision. You're not going to sell out your convictions no matter what. So I wouldn't trade doing that movie for a million other roles that won an Oscar. And even if it means never starring in another movie again, then so be it. Jesus bore a cross for me. I'll gladly bear a cross for Him. Christians, listen to me. You carry that cross and you make that sacrifice because the sacrifice is worth it. I don't care what you have to give up in this world. I don't care what it costs you. Bert Parsons grew up near Orlando, Florida, in a Christian home with parents who were in the entertainment business. And because of that, he was a really good singer and dancer. And all the while he was growing up, he worked all the shows in all the parks around Disney World. But when he was 13 years old, his parents got a divorce. But through that divorce, Bert Parsons came to know Christ and realized that God had called him to be a pastor. So he got involved in all kinds of ministry in his church. 1993, when he was 16 years old, his agent got him in contact with a music producer named Lou Pearlman, who told him he was putting a boy band together that was going to travel all over the world and be even bigger than the Beatles. And Lou Pearlman wanted Bert Parsons to be in that band. So he auditioned for the job and he got it. He was a member of that band. And he thought it was absolutely perfect because Lou Pearlman told him he would make millions of dollars and he could use that money to help pay the medical expenses for his sister who was really, really sick. And Bert Parsons thought he could use those performances as a platform to do ministry and spread the gospel all over the world. And his Christian friends told him to go for it because it seemed perfect to them too. So for four straight months, Bert Parsons started rehearsing with the other guys in that group until his conscience started to eat away at it. Because the pop music they were doing and the butt-shaking dancing they were doing seemed pretty raunchy to him, especially in front of young girls. So he started praying about it. And his Christian friend said, "Don't worry about it. This is your opportunity to serve God all over the world." But then his mother told him, "You can't serve both God and the world at the same time." So after 4 months of rehearsal, God finally told Bert Parsons, "I told you to save people, not entertain them." So Bert Parsons said no, picked up his cross, and walked away. And in case you don't know, the other members of that group, Brian Luttrell, Kevin Richardson, Howie Duroux, Nick Carter, and A.J. McLean, went on to become the Backstreet Boys. Only the biggest, hugest, most popular, best-selling boy band in the history of the whole wide world. That guy turned down an opportunity to be in the Backstreet Boys because God told him to. You talk about carrying a cross. Well, 2 years later, 1995, Bert Parsons was leading ministries in his own church. Lou Pearlman called him again and said he was going to put another boy band together that was even bigger than the Backstreet Boys. All built around Bert Parsons. And Lou Pearlman promised he'd make Bert Parsons a billionaire. And again, Bert Parsons' friend said, "Go for it. It sounds like an incredible opportunity. This is your second chance to serve God all over the world." But when Bert Parsons prayed about it, God told him exactly the same thing. "I told you to save people, not entertain them." So Bert Parsons turned Lou Pearlman down again, said no to him for the second time. And in case you don't know, the members of that second group, Lance Bass, Joey Fatone, J.C. Chassez, and Justin Timberlake, turned into the NSYNC. Another one of the greatest, hugest boy bands in the history of the whole wide world. That guy turned down being a member of both the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Having a name and a face known all over the world. Having millions of fans screaming your name and all the money and the cars and the houses and the girls. Girls so desperate, they were willing to sell their internal organs online just to buy the Kleenex that the guys in those two bands had blown their nose in. Was Burke Parsons an idiot or what? Was this guy crazy? No, he was just committed to Jesus Christ. But you talk about carrying a cross. And did Burke Parsons regret that decision at all? Absolutely not. Because you know what happened to all those guys in those two different bands? 90% of them had huge medical problems from the stress on their bodies from touring way too much. Most every one of them had to go through drug and alcohol rehab. A.J. McLean started a cocaine habit that lasted him for 20 years. Lance Bass eventually came out as gay. I could go on and on and on. And no one guy in any of those two bands ever made a whole lot of money because the manager, Lou Pearlman, embezzled most of it and died in prison in 2016. Meanwhile, Burke Parsons graduated from seminary, pastored churches, and now he is with R.C. Sproul Ministries, speaking at conferences and preaching the gospel all over the world. And because of that, Burke Parsons has led thousands and thousands of people to saving faith in Christ. This is what he said. People would say, I turned down the opportunity of a lifetime twice, but I really didn't. Because the real opportunity of a lifetime is knowing and serving Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what I'm doing now. And I couldn't be happier or more fulfilled at all. The flesh seeks self and money and fame and big audiences. But even the best of what the world offers is nothing but a dead end, as the members of those two bands will tell you. But when you crucify the flesh and follow Christ like you were created to do, that's what gives that kind of joy and fulfillment that the world can never offer. That's what I found out. And I've never regretted it for a second. And do you know what confirmed it for him for good? Back in 1995, at the height of their popularity, the Backstreet Boys remembered him and sent Burke Parsons a copy of Rolling Stone magazine with their picture on the cover. And there's the Backstreet Boys with their pants down. And the caption, of course, boys on top. You get the innuendo. How clever. Folks, there is no way in the world that Burke Parsons could have ever used being in that band to do any kind of serious Christian ministry at all. And he knew it. And the very nanosecond Burke Parsons looked at that magazine cover, the Spirit of God said this to his heart. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Absolutely nothing. You know what, Christians? Not one single time, not one single time in the biblical accounts of Lent and Easter and the gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, not one single time does Jesus ever tell us to idolize rabbits or hunt plastic-colored eggs or eat a lot of candy. And I realize that's just for fun, especially for kids. But you know what? All the biblical accounts of Lent and Easter, all the gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus does tell us this. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Because that is the purpose of life for every single one of us. And whether we do that or not, that's what separates the pros from the Joes. That's what separates the pew warmers from the soul winners. The contenders from the pretenders. The disciples from the dead wood. So the question is this morning, who's going to do that? This cross right here behind the pulpit sets up in front of our church every single Sunday. And that's fine. It's a symbol of our faith. But you know what? That cross shouldn't be standing there every single Sunday because the Holy Spirit is telling us today that cross should be carried around. We should be carrying a cross every single day, everything we do, everywhere we go. So I'm going to take this cross out of this stand right now. And take all the decorations off of it. And I'm going to ask a very simple question this morning. Who in this room right now is willing to deny yourself and stand up and carry this cross and see Jesus lifted up and people saved and brought into the kingdom? That's the question the Holy Spirit is asking us today. Who is willing to stand up and carry this cross? You know what? You never carry the cross, you'll never wear the crown. You're either all in or you're all out. Can't do both. Word of advice, it's a lot easier to carry it than it is to drag it. Attitude counts. Who in this room right now, willing to deny yourself, stand up and carry this cross and tell people, follow me as I follow Christ? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I just thank you, Lord, for Easter Sunday. I pray, Lord, that we would not forget there's something that comes after Easter, and that's a call you placed on our lives. And that's to take up this cross and follow you throughout the world, wherever you send us, always willing and able and ready, Lord, to witness to people, to share the gospel, to take a stand where we have to for righteousness and holiness. I just ask, Lord, for every single one of us today, as Easter ends and Monday morning comes, we will never forget. You call us to do something in response to this, not just celebrate it, but walk with you for the rest of our lives till you take us to glory. Pray, Lord, that every one of us will just make that decision. All this we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.